Well, I'm just glad to be here tonight with you. I thank you and pray for your preacher, thankful for your preacher and this church. It means a lot to us, our family, our church. Over the years, we've had a great relationship and friendship here, and we're so thankful for that. And make sure you pray for your preacher. As you seek to do things here for the Lord, the devil's going to attack him, and especially during these times in which we live in. As I was listening to everything that that was going on here tonight, I thought, man in the world, how in the world am I going to follow that? You know, Tchaikovsky, first of all, I follow Tchaikovsky. Well, and then kids, testifying about what God's done for them and their parents, everybody's like, oh, and then the Lord Almighty, and finally revival is just like, man, I might as well not even stand up, I'm so thankful that the Lord has chosen to use me. I feel He's chosen, the Scripture says He's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and I feel like I fit in there. Amen. So I'm good to go this evening. But I've never been an intellectual. I've never been the smartest kid in the class. I always had to fight for all my grades. I wasn't the valedictorian in my school. At the time, I graduated third in my class. But there's only three in my class, I'm thankful that God's chosen to use me, and I'm really humbled by that. And so that your preacher would call upon me tonight to speak at your graduation, I feel very honored. And so I pray that God make me a blessing tonight. As we start this evening, I would like you to take your Bibles, please, and we're going to start at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Maybe some of you may not even need to, many of you don't even need to turn there, turn and look anyway. Proverbs chapter 3, verses number 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses number 5 and 6. I want to get some things from this passage, and then we're going to move on from here this evening. What I want to speak to you tonight is something, again, I said last night as I spoke in the chapel, it was a truth that God had worked in my heart as a young man getting and preparing for the ministry, that He chose to work in me. Then tonight as well, as I speak this evening, another truth that God used in my life, I figure that these truths God used to mold and make me and help me to be what He wanted me to be would be a great opportunity and topic to share with you tonight. And I just want to give you the title of my message this evening, Being a Man of Your Word. Being a Man of Your Word. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tonight as we begin. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Father in heaven tonight, I pray that You would help me this evening as I seek to be a blessing to these folks here and be a challenge to those who are graduating here tonight. Lord, may these words be something that would stick with them throughout their ministry and continue to challenge them and help them to be the kind of people that You want them to be in their service for You, whatever that might be, whether it's into full-time ministry or whether it's into just being a helper to some church and pastor, bus ministry, Sunday school teacher, whatever that may be, may You help them to be the kind of people that would glorify You by being people of their word. Thank You now for what You'll do and how You'll help me. Lord, for without You I can do nothing, but I know that with You all things are possible. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of us, as we seek God's will, make promises. I remember years ago as I was studying for the ministry, and I was always sitting under preachers and hearing what they had to say and then being challenged to make a response, what I was going to do with what I heard. And, during those times, I made God some promises. The only thing that I would challenge you to do when you hear messages is be careful you don't make promises you cannot keep. I know many times that you'd stand up and hear preachers say, who'll promise you? You need to promise God tonight that you'll win 3 souls to Christ this week. And although that's a noble goal, you may not be able to fulfill that goal. Or I'm going to witness to somebody every day. I'm going to make sure I witness to somebody every day. Well, you know, as you get into your life, you know, you may find yourself in a bed of sickness. You may find yourself in the middle of COVID, where you have to stay in your home. There may be a lot of things that you cannot control that will determine what you can and cannot do. So I would challenge you in this way, let your words before God be few, because whatever you promise God, you better fulfill. You better keep every word of what you tell God. Even as it says in Ecclesiastes 5:2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let thine heart be hasty, let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. Here as we find as we begin the message tonight in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him. We're supposed to acknowledge him. We're supposed to acknowledge him by our witness. We're supposed to acknowledge him by our daily walk in life. And yes, does that mean witnessing and testifying to others as much as I can? And so yes, as there's a message that challenges you on being a soul winner, yes, promise God, I will be the best soul winner I can be. But don't make a promise that you cannot keep. Acknowledge him. You know, God's part is directing your path. You don't know where that path is going to lead you, so be careful what promises that you make to God, because you want to make promises that you're able to keep. You know, you may promise God, well, I'm going to spend 15 minutes extra every day in prayer. You know, if you make that promise, you better make sure that you keep it. I've made promises to God in my life that and sometimes I wished I wouldn't have, because they really press me to make sure that I keep them. Because if I make God a promise, I better keep it. Matter of fact, early on in my ministry and in my life and my consideration, my service for God, I had somebody preach a message along this line and said how important it is that you keep your word to God. And they encouraged me whenever I made a decision to mark it down in the front of my Bible. And I tried to keep those few, but I have them marked here in the date that I made them. You know, this is a Bible that was given to me on my ordination. I had it recovered so I could continue to keep it and use it so that I would be reminded of those promises that I made to God, because it's important that you keep your word. God is a God of his word. Aren't you glad tonight that he is? Amen. You know, that we're so thankful that he is a God that cannot lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every word of God is pure. It will never pass away. God will always do as he said, and so should we. This is a message that I heard years ago, and my pastor also emphasized to me, so I hope tonight it will be a blessing to you. And as I made promises to God, as I said, I tried to mark those down. You may find yourself in the midst of quarantine, you know, and so you need to make sure that every promise that you make, and thank God we're almost out of that as well, you know, pray for us. We're in Pennsylvania. They're kind of holding us pretty tight, but thank God our area is starting to open up as well, so we're thankful to God for that. But if you make God a promise, you better write it down. You better keep it. Also, with your children, if you tell them something, you know, even those of you who are here listening, you ought to do it. You ought to keep that promise, you know, because they're going to see God like you. See, when if you keep your promise, you're what's real, you know. You're what they see. You're the Christ that they view all the time. And so if you make promises and you don't keep them, they're going to begin to think that God acts the same way. You need to keep your promises. You are God's representative to them, and they will think God is like you. In business, in church, in all of our affairs in life, our word should be as good as God's. Tonight, as I begin, I want to go back to the law, the vow in the Old Testament, if you would with me. If you would go back to, first of all, Numbers chapter number 30. Numbers chapter number 30. Numbers chapter number 30. Numbers chapter number 30. And we're not going to read the whole chapter. It's not very long, but I do want to get the gist of the chapter. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. If a woman shall vow a vow unto the Lord, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth not, that he heareth not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her." So I always used to tell my wife, "You can't make a promise. If you make a promise, I can always disallow that, you know. But if I hold my peace, you're stuck, you know." But what we see the vow here, and you go down through here and read more about that, and I challenge you to do it sometime. But would you please with me now turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter number 23. Deuteronomy chapter number 23. Here in Deuteronomy 23, and we want to go down to verses 21 through 23. I'm going to read those verses for you. "When thou vowest a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee." Now think of these verses here. I'm going to read verse 23 yet, but when we get to the New Testament in a little while, I want you to think back on these verses. "That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth." Now, Psalm 15, you can turn over there, but it begins, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" Then it begins to list the characteristics of those mentioned, and one of those things was, "He that sweareth to his own hurt," and what? "Changes not." Notice also Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verses number 4 and 5. You can turn over there with me if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, verses 4 and 5. I'm trying to give you a background first in the scriptures as we get started here. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verses number 4 and 5. It says, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in" what? "Fools. Pay that thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldst not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay." You know, whenever I think of somebody like that, I think of Jonah. Jonah was a man who, made a vow to God that he would preach and do what God said. Jonah had decided, you know, when God told him to go to Nineveh, instead he was going to go to Tarshish. Now, aren't you glad that God's merciful? Aren't you glad that God gave him another chance? The whale experience for Jonah was a blessed experience and a merciful experience by a loving God who wanted him to do what he said. You know, when he was finally there in the midst of the fish's belly, he repented finally and he prayed to the Lord and he said, "I will pay that I have vowed." I just want to encourage you tonight as graduates, if you're coming up to the place and you're searching for God's will, as we talked about last night, and along the way you made God some promises, you better keep those promises that you have made. Listen, many years ago I told God, "You can have my life, and I'll serve you in the ministry, and I don't have any right to take that back. Amen. It belongs to Him. And I have to, as long as I have breath, I'm going to preach. And I count it a privilege to serve Him and preach His word. And I can't take it back. And I believe that if I start to walk away from the ministry, I believe God will give me experience like He gave to Jonah in order to bring me back and help me to fulfill the promises that I've made to Him." Turn to Joshua chapter number 9, please. Joshua chapter number 9. Here in the book of Joshua, chapter number 9, Joshua was getting ready to come into the land. And maybe you remember the story of the Gibeonites. And there in Joshua chapter number 9, and we'll just read a little bit here of what's going on. I'm going to jump around a little bit and try and follow me. It says, "And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side of Jordan in the hills and the valleys and all the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Ammonite, Canaanite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and unto Ai, they did work willingly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their ashes and wine and bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clotted upon their feet and old garments upon them. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal and said unto him, and unto the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hittites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you?" Man, they were even kind of a little wondering about what was going on here with these people. What if these are people that dwell amongst us? And they said unto Joshua, "We be thy servants." And Joshua said unto them, "Who are ye? And from whence come ye?" And they said unto him, "From a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard of the fame of him, and that all Egypt, and that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and unto Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake unto us, saying, take victuals unto you for the journey, and go and meet with them." And he went on and explained, and the people believed what they said. Verse number 16, "It came to pass at the end of 3 days that after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors, and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day." Now their cities were Gibeon and Japhira and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. "And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel." Now listen here. These were people of the land which God commanded them to what? Destroy. They came to them and they deceived them, but yet Joshua and the people of the land, they and the king, or I should say the chief of the fathers there, made a league with them and they made promises to them. Well, then they found out later that these were people of the land they were supposed to destroy, but notice what it says there. Notice what it says. "And the children of Israel smote them not, because the prince of the congregation had sworn unto them by" what? "The Lord." Now, never any place do you find a condemnation from God that they didn't destroy them. Matter of fact, if we would go over to 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verses number 1 through 9, we'll find over there in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses number 1 through 9, that then there was famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord and said, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not the children of Israel. Notice, here's an explanation, parenthetical passage. It's an explanation of what's going on here. "Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall we do for you, and wherewith shall I make an atonement?" Now eventually we see that some were killed as a result. But what I want to share with you and what I'm trying to tell you here tonight is that it didn't matter that the Gibeonites had deceived them. They made them a promise. And they were supposed to keep that promise. And matter of fact, because they didn't keep that promise, God sent a plague upon Israel. And that plague continued until they made that right. You know, some people begin to say, "Well, you know, I didn't really know what I was saying. You know, I was young. You know, I really didn't understand the Word of God like I should. You know, and we begin to make excuses before God why we may not be keeping a promise that we made to Him. Do you think God cares about your excuses? No. Do you think God cares that they deceived them? No. What God cares about is they made a promise and they needed to keep it. And listen, young people, you've made some decisions. And, you know, as you begin to grow and you understand the Scriptures more and you think, man, I shouldn't have maybe made that promise to God, don't you dare go back on it. Don't you dare go back on it. You know, there's nothing God has. He has nothing that's not holy. And when we put our hands on something that's holy, God's going to require it. Remember, David decided to bring up one time the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, and he decided he was going to do it a new way. Instead of doing it the prescribed way by putting the staves through the sides and having the priests carry it on their shoulders, man, we want to get this done quickly, and we're going to do it a new way. Careful on new ways. Amen. Amen. Be careful on new Bibles. Be careful on new doctrines. Amen. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen. You know, and even messages, you know, somebody said to me one time, hey, Pastor, I love that message. Can I have the outline? I'll give you credit for it. I said, I don't want credit. I said, just preach it. Amen. It's God's word. You know, he's going to get up and say, Pastor, God, I got this message from Pastor Gardner. I said, there's nothing new. If we're preaching something new, we shouldn't be preaching it. Amen. But we shouldn't care. You know, we'll start to learn the Word of God, and we'll start to think, well, you know, I really didn't know what I was talking about back then. And, you know, we begin to make excuses for a promise that we made God. And, you know, there's some times where I tried to back out, you know, some promises I made to God. And I know that when I stop being faithful to those things which I promised God, I'm in trouble spiritually. I can't go forward. Just like we find here in Israel, God had plagued them because the Gibeonites, who they promised they would not harm, they harmed them. And so God wasn't going to bless Israel until they fixed it. And I know that sometimes when we get along in our Christian walk in lives, you know, we promised God, you know, we would be a Sunday school teacher. We promised God we'd be a bus worker. We promised God, listen, I'll serve you full time. And listen, I've seen it in my own family. I've seen it with others who turned away from God's call for their life. Listen, their lives are a mess. Don't, if you've given God something, don't turn away. Don't go back on that promise. Keep your promise to God. You think of Jephthah's vow. Now, of course, we could talk about Jephthah and whether he actually sacrificed his daughter there or not. But we know this, he kept it. It was a rash vow. And he probably had, definitely, as we read in Scripture, he had some second thoughts about that vow when he saw his daughter coming out to meet him. But he kept his vow, and God honored it. Think of the commandment of the Lord Jesus when we come into the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37, concerning vows. He says, we're not supposed to vow, but he says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And he says, for whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil. You know, whenever I think of that, I think of little kids. You know, and when they say, oh, come on, will you give me some of your candy? And they say, yeah, I'll give you some of my candy. Crush your heart. Right? Crush your heart, hope to die. Why? Because, guess what? They're not trusting that their yes is what? Good enough. And see, you know what the Lord says about that? That's evil. See, it used to be you could say yes and it meant you were going to do it. You know, a man's word was his bond. And you didn't have to worry about, you know, today you need all kinds of contracts. And, you know, if you've ever bought a car or a house or whatever, man, you'll spend 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours signing documents because they want to make sure you're going to pay and people still don't pay. Right? And by the way, you know, if you file bankruptcy, I believe as a Christian, you should still pay. Boy, that got quiet. Because what you do with your life is your word honors God. And so even if the world gives you an out by their legal system, you still need to honor God. So let your yay be yay. It's evil to have to follow up your yes with I promise. It means your yes wasn't good enough. In James 5:2, it says, swear not at all. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into what? You know the passage? Condemnation. Judgment. Did you ever tell one of your kids or somebody else you were going to do something and then didn't do it? Do you realize you're not right with God? Scripture says we're going to give an account for every idle word. God hears it. Preacher, man, that's serious. Yeah, God, does God take his word serious? If we add to or take away from his word, does he promise judgment? Absolutely he does. Amen. That's why we believe the King James Bible, amen, is the word of God. And we shouldn't mess with it. And see, if God takes his word seriously, so will he take your word seriously because you represent him. If any man speak, let him speak as the one, oracles of God. We ought to be careful what we say. You know, there's times where, you know, I have regretted some things that I have said behind the pulpit as I realized later, now that wasn't exactly correct. I had to go straighten it out. I know none of you other preachers make any errors, but, you know, this one does. There's times where I've had to go back to my daughters and tell them, listen, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Because I believe if you're a person of character, if you're a man of God, then you're going to realize when you were wrong. And listen, your children and others will respect you when you're willing to admit it. Think of New Testament example. You know, we fall into condemnation when we fail to keep our word. New Testament example, Ananias and Sapphira. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter number 5. I'm just about done, preacher. You know, I never did well in homiletics when they gave me a time limit. They always made me sit down. So I'm going to finish up here. But Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. Nah, you're there, I'm not. Give me a chance to get there. Acts chapter number 5. Ananias and Sapphira. I want you to notice the verses here because they correlate with those passages we read in the Old Testament. Acts chapter number 5 and verses 1 through 11. Speak of Ananias' fire. We'll try to read it quickly. And as they spake unto the people, the priests, that's chapter 4. But as a certain man named Ananias' fire, his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And of course, we know the story. The same thing happened to his wife as he came in. They had conspired together to lie to God. But I want you to notice verse number 4. It says, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing? Deuteronomy 23, verse 22 says, but if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. In other words, that's saying the same thing. If you don't vow, then there's no sin. But if you vow, then you better pay. Remember, God has no pleasure in fools. My greatest desire in life is that God would use me.
Amen.
And if I'm not a man of my word, God can't use me. So I challenge you tonight, those of you listening, as well as you graduates, be people of your word so that God can use you. You know, it was wonderful. God gave the children of Israel a chance. You know, God sent a plague and he had brought this upon them. But, you know, he brought it to King David's attention and they were able to get that thing right so they could again have God's blessing. You know, God always wants to bless his people. And if you'll just remember those things where you failed to keep your word, and you go back, and that's what my pastor always taught me, restitution. You know, God wants us to, when we fail to do what's right, to get back there and make it right. Not only ask for forgiveness, but make it right. And if you'll do that, just as they did, God took away the condemnation and the judgment. And listen, My encouragement is because every time in my own life where I knew I failed to do what God said, I could feel in my own walk in life that his hand of blessing and power wasn't there. I've made God promises, and those things belong to him, and I have no right to put my hands on them. And if you've given God your life to serve him, to live for him, if you've made him promises, may I encourage you, write them down, put them in your Bible, daily remember. You know, the scriptures and Psalms says, I will daily keep my vows. Think about them, pray about them daily. Make sure that you are walking in the way that pleases the Lord. And may God bless you as you go forward to serve him.